The Faith Fellowship Church, we are continuing our study of Luke chapter 22 tonight, and we're probably going to not really go through the whole chapter. I just feel like the Lord has wanted me to focus on one part of this story, so let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us tonight. Send your Holy Spirit in this place. Quicken hungry hearts. Lord, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Now, when he says how they might kill him, it doesn't really mean how, like on a cross or, you know, or some other means. It means how they can get him in to kill him without the people seeing them do it, because they feared the people. So then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. And so he went his way, and he conferred with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Again, this is all about doing it under the cover of night. some of the liberal politicians are basically the same way. They try to slip things into bills, and they make it so thick that nobody can read it. It's just Judas at night in the garden is all it is. It's the same principle. So then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Incidentally, you know, there's three Jewish feast days right there in the spring of the year. The feast of unleavened bread. Jesus was the unleavened bread. Leaven represents sin. And so he died on Passover, but it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread because he was sinless. Amen. During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, one of the things they would do is they would hide the leaven. The kids would hide the unleavened bread, and it would be like a hide and seek, and they would seek it. And so then, you know, during these three nights, Jesus is hidden away, and then, of course, he's found on Easter resurrection. So it's just kind of a background there. And so he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." And they said to him, a logical question, "Where do you want us to go prepare it?" You know, if someone said, "I want you to go and cook me a meal," and you don't have a kitchen, where do you want me to go, right? Logical question. And Jesus says to him, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready." I love this. I love this. Because like you and I, we are disciples of Jesus, but we don't know where we're going. I mean, we know where we're going, but we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We have to be led by the Lord. And the way the Lord leads us is through the Holy Spirit. The man with a pitcher of water is a type of the Holy Spirit. You see, anytime you see water in the New Testament, or even the Old sometimes, it's all about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus met her at the well, the disciples that went to get cheeseburgers or something, and he's there by himself with the woman at the well, and he says to the woman, "If you knew who you were talking to, you'd be asking me for water, and I'd give you living water. You'd never thirst again." And she's like, "Well, give me that. I don't want to have to come to this well every day." And he says, "You know, we're not talking about that kind of water. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll spring up into you life. It's the power of God, the Holy Spirit." And as he began to talk to her, she perceived that he was a prophet because he told her everything that she'd ever done. He told her, you know, "Go get your husband." "Well, I'm not married." "You're right. You've married all these guys and you're living with one now." And she's like, "Wow, you know, And you know, the Holy Spirit will give us words of knowledge and words of wisdom. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit we read in the New Testament. It's a word of knowledge. And you know, years ago I was on my way from Broken Arrow to West Tulsa to visit my parents. And I had an Under the Dash cassette tape player. How many of you guys are old enough to remember when we put those in? Because they didn't come that way. And I had a Jimmy Swaggart tape in, and I was worshiping God. I was just praising God. In fact, the praise was so magnificent that I was sobbing by the time I got to West Tulsa. Now, I grew up in a house in West Tulsa, and my brother bought a house right next to my parents. So he lived, and his wife and three girls lived next door. And as I pulled up, I noticed his pickup was not in front of his house. It was in front of my mom and dad's house. And so I pulled in behind it, and I wiped the tears from my eyes, and I said, "Thank you, Lord, for a great experience with you." And I got out of the car, and the driveway is a hill, and I'm right at the foot of the hill of the driveway, and I said, "Lord, why is Jimmy's pickup in front of mom's house?" And the Holy Spirit said, "He's in the hospital." It's called a word of knowledge. It's what Jesus did with the woman in the well. You've been married all these times, and the guy you're living with is not your husband. It shocked me. I wasn't expecting an answer. Now, maybe we should, right? Maybe everything we ask God, we should just expect Him to answer us. But I think a lot of times we're not in the zone like I was that day. We're not in the presence of God through worship. And He said He's in the hospital. And I walked up that driveway and across that sidewalk, and I met my mother at the front door, and I said, "What's wrong with Jimmy?" She said, "He's in the hospital." I said, "I know." And God is, and of course, I would have known it 1 minute later. And he had been bitten by a brown recluse spider. Those are nasty things. But you know, I asked the Lord one time, I said, "Lord, I don't understand. I mean, I'm grateful, so it's an amazing experience through the Holy Spirit. But I don't understand why, when I would have known that already." And he didn't answer me, but the only conclusion I had was he just wanted me to know that he was listening to my worship, you know. And you know, God wants us to worship him. Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." You need the Holy Spirit just to worship God. You need the man with a pitcher of water just to find the upper room, amen? We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, so often we get so focused on, "I need more of Jesus," when we forget that the vehicle to Jesus in the upper room is the Holy Spirit. In fact, we understand from the New Testament that a person cannot even get saved unless they're drawn by the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit should play an important role in everything in our life. Amen? Now in John chapter 7, we read that it was the last day, the great day of the feast. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. It lasts 8 days, 7 days, and then the last day is known as the Great Day. And on that day, back in Jesus' days, the priest would grab a cup of water, and he would be up on top of this long steps, and they had a big rock there, and he would pour that water out on that rock, and it would hit the rock, and it would roll down those steps. And it was to remind the children of Israel, because that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about, remembering their wilderness wandering. And it was to remind them of how Moses had struck the rock and the water came out. Again, a type of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said, "It's expedient that I go to the Father, for if I do not go, I cannot send the Holy Spirit." So Jesus had to be struck. He had to be crucified so that you and I could experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen? When Jesus was here, he could only be in one place as the physical Jesus. But when he went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit for us, it's Jesus here and Jesus there. It's Jesus here. And we experience Jesus by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So on that day, Jesus walked up those steps and he shouted out across those thousands that were there in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scriptures say, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And the commentator John said, "This spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified." In case you don't know what he's talking about, John tells you right there. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, "If you're thirsty, come unto me and drink, for out of your belly will flow rivers of living water." How many of you guys been spiritually thirsty this last month? Come on now. You know it. You've had days where you're down. You've had days where it felt like God wasn't very near. You felt days where you hurt physically or mentally or emotionally. And you know what? Jesus said, that's a thirst that comes from the inside. It's a thirst of your spirit. It's not a physical thirst. You can have all the water and all the great drinks in the world. You can have Kool-Aid, grape juice, lemonade, all that. But there is a thirst that comes from the spirit of man that only God can fill. And that indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus was talking about. He said, if any man thirst, come unto me and drink. Now notice he says, come unto me. But yet John said these speaking of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he's the source of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit never magnifies or glorifies himself. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. And you know, I've been in all kinds of churches. I've been in Assembly of God, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Assembly of God, Church of God. And if through some outward events, if it magnifies the person or the event, it's usually not the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying there isn't some emotion that goes with the move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I'm saying it never takes the attention. It always points it to Jesus. And that's how you tell if it's genuinely the Holy Spirit. And so on this last day, this great day of the feast, Jesus didn't whisper it. He shouted it out to everybody to hear. Because he's shouting it to you and me. Amen. He's saying, are you thirsty tonight? Come unto me and drink. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He will pour out His Spirit upon you. He said He'll pour it out on your sons and your daughters. There's no respecter of person. An 8-year-old boy can be filled with the Holy Spirit. A 92-year-old woman can experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, come unto me. Come to me. And don't sit there being thirsty. Don't lay there being miserable and depressed and discouraged. When I have the power to pour out a Spirit of God, the Spirit of God on you in a way that you've never known before. Amen. Whew. Come on, somebody. If you can't say amen, say ouch. You know, we sing that song, let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and what? Make me feel a little better? Make me whole. Amen. You know, if you are incomplete, if you are lacking, the Holy Spirit knows your needs and is able to supply your needs. We read in Paul's letters about the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. To some tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts, you know, edifying, all these things, you know. We don't focus. There's churches that's all they focus on is tongues. That's wrong. There's all kinds of gifts. You know, one time I was doing children's ministry. I would do a Saturday bus outreach. I'd do Sunday morning children's church. I'd do Wednesday night Royal Rangers through Assemblies of God. And I'm working a full-time job, and I'm meeting myself coming and going. I'm physically exhausted, and I keep looking at that yard going, oh, I got to mow that lawn, but I just don't feel like it. I'm just exhausted. My Saturdays would start early. I'd go to Reese's. I'd get hot dogs. I'd get Laffy Taffy. I'd get stuff for the outreach. I'd get on the bus. We'd go on a bus route that was an hour all over Tahlequah, picking up kids from trailer parks. We'd come back. We'd sing songs. We'd have puppet shows. I'd preach to them. We'd feed them hot dogs. We'd give them candy. We'd bus them back, and I'd go home and collapse every Saturday. And so the grass is getting higher and higher, and I'm like, oh God, I got to do that. And then, praise the Lord, a fellow brother by the name of Cupsick, his last name was Cupsick. I look out my window, I hear something, he's out mowing my lawn. Woo! That's the Holy Ghost right there, you know? That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And man, that blessed me. And I told him how much that blessed me. You know, so you can be moved by the Holy Spirit to mow someone's lawn. You can be moved by the Holy Spirit to pick up a phone call and say, hey, brother, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. Hey, sister, how you doing right now? And you never know what God can do. You know, another story I'll tell you. When I was in Tulsa, and the Lord had told me a year earlier that I'd be in Tahlequah the following year. And I had a house that had structural damage. It didn't look like I could sell it. I was in a job, they call it golden handcuffs, where you got bills and you're making good money and you don't see how you can quit your job. And I was feeling stressed, and I said, Lord, you know, and about 11 months had went. It was almost time for the Lord to have me in Tahlequah, like He said, but I didn't know. It was about 10 and a half months, I think. I didn't know. I said, Lord, how are you going to do this? You got 6 weeks. Like he didn't know the calendar. You know, sometimes we have to tell the Lord stuff like that, you know. Have you seen the calendar? You told me, you know, I was praying. I was sitting in a Burger King parking lot, and I was praying in the Spirit, and I wanted to eavesdrop on what I was saying. So in that car in the Burger King parking lot, yea, I say unto thee. That's how you start prophesying. You always got to start that way, right? And 1 year from now, you will be in Tallahassee. So, you know, I believe that was the Holy Spirit speaking. So 10 and a half months later, I'm telling the Lord, it's been 10 and a half months, Lord, I'm not there. And I was working for Hillcrest Medical Center, and they bought Children's Medical Center. And my boss's boss, the director, ran off the business office manager, and I was the assistant manager at Hillcrest business office. And so they said, Roger, we're going to send you over there to manage the Children's Medical Center business office. Okay. You know, I thought this was a good move. Sometimes it's not always a good move. So anyway, there was a lot of politics going on. These doctors all were jockeying for attention, you know. They had a lot of psych doctors there, you know, for these kids. And they would come down and they'd say, how come you're not collecting some of my accounts? I said, well, you know, we got 3 people in the business office and all these accounts. I said, we have a limited amount. Yeah, but part of the therapy is that these people pay their bills, and if you don't call them and tell them to pay their bill, they won't. You know, and so I'm dealing with this. Well, you know, it's a numbers game. So I told the biller, I said, I don't care what anybody else says. Bill the largest ones first, right? Not a rocket science. So I would go to Hillcrest, and I have meetings with these high-level CFOs, and they'd say, Roger, what are you doing over there? You know, the cash flow is 3 times what it was before that they ran that other girl off. So at Hillcrest, I was a hero. At Children's Medical Center, I was the black sheep just waiting to be hung. It was not a pleasant experience. So, and that's exactly what happened. So they said, well, you're making too much money. We're going to have to downsize and we're restructuring. And so I found myself without a job. And I was depressed. And my wife was at work and the kids are at school and the dog's even sleeping. And I'm there in the house all alone having a pity party. And I'm kneeling by the couch and I'm having a pity party. And the Lord says to me, what are you doing? And I knew exactly what he was saying because it was exactly what he told Elijah when he was in the cave. What are you doing? You should be above this pity party. You're the man of God, right? But I wasn't. I was having a pity party. What are you doing? I said, yes, Lord, you're right. Okay, I tell you what I'll do. I'll go to the park, and if you bring someone there, I'll witness to them. So I drove up Garnett. We lived at 61st and Garnett. I drove up Garnett. And there used to be a park, at least I thought there was, on Garnett that I had taken the kids to. And I think an angel was flying by the car with trees painted on his hands, because every time I'd look over, all I saw was trees. I ended up all the way at 11th Street, and I cut over and came back down Mingo, and there's a park there. I think it was around 31st. And so I said, well, this will do, and I pull in that park, and I go sit at one of those cement picnic tables, and I have my Bible, and I'm reading, and I look up, and there's an elderly black man, kind of a pot belly like me, maybe a little bigger, balding on top, big flared white sideburns, suspenders, and he's walking around the track. I said, is that the man, Lord? And he goes and he sits at the cement picnic table. Did I say picnic table? Coffee table? I don't know. Picnic table across ways from me. So I left my Bible there and I went over and introduced myself. He said his name was J.C. Banks. And I tried to talk to him about the Lord and mentioned church and wasn't going anywhere. Finally, I said, well, Mr. Banks, you got a family? He said, yeah, I got a son, and he's in penitentiary. He said, I drove a truck, retired as a truck driver. I was never home for him. I kind of blamed myself that I wasn't there. I said, what about your wife? Oh, she died a year earlier. Well, do you have anybody else? Well, I got a daughter, and she's married and got kids, and I just feel like I'm in the way over there. He said, you know, I got every cable channel you can buy, and I was sitting there flipping that remote, and I was thinking about getting my pistol and ending it. And I threw that remote down, and I said, I got to get out of here. I said, Mr. Banks, can we pray? And I don't remember what I prayed. It was all the Lord. But when I got done, he and I were both sobbing. And he said, God brought me here today. You see, I'm not saying that to glorify myself. I'm saying there is a Spirit of God that wants to move through you and by you and use you if you will make yourself available to touch the broken, the lonely, and the desperate people of this world. And if we can just tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, God will perform miracles every time. Amen. In the Old Testament, there is the story of when Abraham was sending his servant to go and get a wife for his son Isaac. You know the story. Ultimately, he got Rebekah, but he went there. Now, we don't know the name of the servant at that point in the Bible. We find out later his name is Eliezer. And Eliezer, of course, means God is helper. And that's one of the titles of the Holy Spirit, is helper. But the reason his name isn't mentioned there is what I said earlier. The Holy Spirit never points at himself. He never exalts himself. And so, you know the story. Eliezer went there and he says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city coming to draw water. Now, let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels to drink,' let her be the one that you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." You know, we can do that. We can talk to the Holy Spirit and negotiate that, because the Holy Spirit knows everything. I said the Holy Spirit knows everything. There's nothing He don't know. That's why Jesus said, "I got to go so I can send the Holy Spirit," because He is covering the earth completely. There isn't a square inch on the planet the Holy Spirit is not there. He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. And so we can talk to the Lord and make this negotiate and say, "Lord, you know, the Spirit of God is working in my midst right now, and here's what I want to see." Amen. And we'll see it. And of course, when she said all these things, just like he said, then he brings out the jewels, right? The nose ring. How come women don't wear nose rings anymore? I guess a few of them do. He brings out all these jewels. I kind of like nose rings. Okay, enough of that. Anyway, he brings out all these jewels. And you know, you might say, "Well, he's buying a servant." No, he's wooing a bride. And aren't you glad the Holy Spirit woos a bride? He wooed you and me. He's drawing us. That's his job. The Spirit of God, is his job is to draw people to Isaac, to Jesus. Amen. Isaac is a type of Jesus, and he's drawing them to Jesus. Amen. So Jesus told his disciples, "Go to Jerusalem and," there's that word, "wait." I've been studying that word lately. I've become quite accustomed to that word, "wait." And he says, "Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise." Aren't you glad there is a promise? "In the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, dream dreams." This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, the Holy Spirit. And so they were told to go to Jerusalem and wait. And where did they go? They were in an upper room. Amen? Now, this man with a pitcher of water is leading them to a house where there is an upper room. How many of you guys want to be in the upper room with Jesus? Then you got to follow the Holy Spirit. He's the man with a pitcher of water. Do you hear what I'm saying? Spirit of the living God, lead me to the upper room with Jesus. I want to be there. I want Him to wash my feet. I want to break bread with Him. I want to have communion with Him. And I'm going to do it not in my own strength. I'm going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the upper room. Whether it's that Passover on the day of Pentecost, I want to be in the upper room with Jesus. And He said, "Wait for the Holy Spirit." Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it was on that day of Pentecost the church was born. The church was not born at the cross. The church was not born at the resurrection. Now, salvation was wrought at the cross. But the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Because there is no church without the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so the church was born on the day of Pentecost. So if the Holy Spirit is what's needed to birth the church, doesn't it stand to reason we need Him to keep living? Amen? We need the Holy Spirit to be the life of the church. Amen? He is the life of the church if we will let Him. You know, when I said the Holy Ghost knows everything, reminds me of a story of R.W. Shambach. He was preaching in New York, And he was halfway through his sermon when this little woman comes down the aisle with her finger up. He said, I didn't know what that meant. And I found out it means I'm about to interrupt your masterpiece sermon. And so he stopped preaching. I mean, what are you going to do? She said, I'm sorry, Brother Shambach. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I got to have an answer now. Time is running out. So he said, well, okay, what's going on? She goes, my son is going to be fried in the electric chair at 9 o'clock tonight. And well, that's pretty serious. That's worth interrupting. They weren't going to be done by 9 o'clock. So he said, okay. She said, he's accused of murdering someone, but he's innocent. He said, well, this guy's been tried by a jury of his peers. I don't know if he's innocent or not. Mamas always think their kids are innocent. He said, so I didn't know what to do, so I began to pray in the Spirit. And then he said, I began to prophesy, kind of like me in that Burger King parking lot. And he said, I heard myself say, woman, go home, go to sleep, your son will not die. And he said, I was thinking, shut up, dummy. You know, golly, you know, when God says something like that, you just like, oh, I hope I've heard the Lord. And he said the next morning he got up and he wasn't feeling very good. He was kind of nervous, wondering what had happened. And back in those days, you know, they remember the old newspaper stands with the nickel or the dime and the little diner over here. And he put a nickel in and he got a paper and he almost got to the diner. He opened it up and said, execution stayed. Killer confesses. He said he sat down right there on the street corner and began to sob as he read that at 9:05, the DA got a call and said, he said, you're frying the wrong man. I killed that person. And he described the room to the T. And he said, where do I go to turn myself in? And he turned himself in and they said, well, you were scot-free. Why did you confess? He said, about 9:10 last night, something got a hold of me. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows your needs. He knows mine. And He wants to fill us and empower us. Jesus said, if any man thirsts, come unto me and drink, drink, drink. Man, I want to get drunk on the Holy Spirit tonight, don't you? I want to keep drinking. A little is not enough. Jesus called Him the Comforter. He's the man with the pitcher of water. He's leading you to the upper room. He's leading you to a deeper walk with God. He's the Comforter, and He wants to comfort you tonight. It doesn't matter what your neighbor thinks. It doesn't matter what people down. It doesn't matter what denomination you are. The Holy Spirit is not denominational, is He? He is the third person of the Godhead, and Jesus said, it's expedient I go so I can send Him to you. We need the Comforter. And He also said that He will lead you into all truth. Have you ever wondered, sometimes with all the fake media and all of this stuff, Lord, does anybody know the truth? I got news where the Holy Spirit knows the truth, doesn't He? And if you get confused about doctrine or religion or dogma or just the craziness going on in the world, He said the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He's a Comforter and He's the leader into all truth. Praise God. And so the other thing that we're taught in the Scriptures is that He will make intercession when we don't know how to pray. Amen. Praying in the Spirit when I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. Lord, I don't know how to pray this. He says, pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit will make utterance for you because He knows. He not only knows everything on the planet, He knows what you need better than you know yourself. Aren't you glad for that? And so the question tonight as we begin to wrap this up is, are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Are you following the man with a pitcher of water? You know, so much is going on, it's not hard to imagine that all of us at times lose sight of being led by the Holy Spirit. That we get caught up in the world, we get caught up in duties and jobs and house and cleaning the house and going to work and all these other things when we forget our life is to be led by the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit leading us is the greatest adventure of our life. We can experience life on a level that we've never experienced before because the Holy Spirit's going to lead us to people. He's going to lead us in this direction and that direction. We're going to make connections that we would never made before. If we can just be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, so often, much of the problems we have is because we go down the wrong roads in life. Amen? We think this is the right way, and then it turns out it's a dead end. Or we think this is the right way, and it turns out it's full of rocks and pit holes and everything, kind of like Muskogee streets. Had to throw that in there. But man, they had four barrels on Country Club, and I was like an Indy driver driving around them just so I didn't hit those holes this week. But we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. There's no potholes in the road led by the Holy Spirit, is there? And so are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Are you letting the man with the pitcher of water lead you to an upper room experience? I said, are you letting the man with the pitcher of water lead you to an upper room experience? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to have Diane play softly, and we're going to do something that we should do more often. We're going to open the altars. You know, all of this is good, and all of this is fine, but if you don't mix faith with works, come to an altar, find a place to pray, then this is just another sermon on another Wednesday night. But I believe God wants to do something in our lives. If you're hungry for a move of God, if you're ready for an upper room experience, let's find a place and ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit tonight. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's do it. Let's just go ahead and do it. Amen. I said, let's just go ahead and do it.